Tony Grasso is with us now. Morning, Tony. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
There you
go. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Tony is principal consultant at the cybersecurity firm Titanium Defence. He worked at GCHQ in the UK and is a former intelligence officer in New Zealand. Now, even the cybercrime gangs are coming across tough times, we hear, with a big drop-off in revenue. What's happening?
So some analysts have tracked that the money flowing between Bitcoin wallets, which is the decentralized banking way of payments, has dropped by 40%. And so the suggestion is that the criminals themselves are not getting paid out as much as they were last year. So what's interesting about this, I think, is one, people love the fact that we got away from having the rigidity of the world banking system and Bitcoins and other types of digital currency have flourished. The problem with that is because it's really hard to track. And so it's actually very difficult to bring people who are using it inappropriately to task. That's one aspect we ought to consider. But really interestingly is that the criminal gangs, there's money to be made, so they're not going to just leave this to drop off. And I believe what we're going to see more likely is that they're going to try different methods now, perhaps more intrusive methods or other ways of breaking into systems to get the attention of the companies. Because what we're seeing is that the companies are like refusing to pay, or they're finding other methods to get around payment. And I think you'll see that the criminal gangs are definitely in a state of research and development to find other ways to make people pay. I think part of that has been due to the cyber insurance that people now take out, or businesses take out. And cyber insurances have got quite a detailed questionnaire, and it makes businesses really think and take a lot more care of their computing than they ever did before. One of the downsides, I think, is that cyber criminals are still got plenty of rich pickings of other countries that are not as forward-thinking. And we might see that New Zealand actually gets targeted a lot more than it used to in the past.
All right. Very interesting that the ransoms are not being paid. Is that one of the takeouts here?
Yeah, absolutely. What companies are doing, they're employing different methods now for getting around this problem. So if machines do get encrypted, they have backups that they go to, or other business continuity plans that they kick into action. And you know, previously, companies didn't really have to worry about it as much. And so it's taken us about 10 years really to get to this point, but it's starting to have an effect, which I think is great.
It's interesting that while the amount being paid may have dropped, 40% drop in earnings, if you can call them that, for the cybercrime gangs, the number of attacks, however, still continues to rise. It's just that it seems more organisations are getting better at having an alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, I see this as a period for the cybercrime gangs to be sit, reflect and think, okay, how do we get around this issue? And we'll see, I'm sure in the next sort of year, we'll see a very different style of attack coming out as well.
It's cat and mouse, isn't it? You alluded to it.
It really is.
You fear that a country like New Zealand might become a growing target. What? Because we are perceived as being, or perhaps in reality are, a bit slack on cybersecurity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got first world connectivity. We have first world infrastructure. But, you know, companies are still very reticent to spend money on cybersecurity. Or when they do, they over-exaggerate and buy lots of equipment that doesn't necessarily protect them in the way that it could. So, yeah, we still have, I think we'll see an increase over here.
All right. Also today, among your stories, the Dark Frost botnets has launched a devastating denial of service attack. This is targeting the gaming industry. That's interesting, isn't it? Because the gamers, I don't know why, but you kind of perceive them as being more online savvy. None of that matters if there's a denial of service attack. Just remind people what it is.
Sure. So a denial of service attack is if you had a shop and you had lots of people turning up to your shop and tying up all of your staff, asking questions that they didn't really want the answer to and not buying anything, that you're getting denial of service of real customers coming into the shop. And we can do this on a computing level. What that means is that we flood it with requests that don't really have any meaning, and they're not meant to be there, but it stops legitimate requests from working. So now your gaming experience will, you know, as you know, everything is real time. You know, you don't wait for things to happen. It's meant to be real time. You're playing a game, and now you can't. Why I think this is interesting, because if we look at our first story, this could be another, this could be like a newer growing area that has not traditionally been attacked that much because the gaming industry is quite hard to attack. But this type of attack works really well, right? So the gaming industry nets more money every year than Hollywood, like by quite a bit. So it's a great place for attackers to have a go at.
It is an interesting one. So if it's being used, what, to interrupt with the games, and remember, these games can be multiple players all over the world, right, connected up.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
What kind of happens? What's the means by which some kind of ransom or some kind of money is illegally elicited? What happens after the denial of service?
It literally is like old days with the mafia. You'll get... Listen, you want your shop to stay in business. You pay us an amount of money, and we'll leave you alone, and maybe we'll protect you from other gangs. And it really is as straightforward. So it's the same old school stuff that we're used to in the physical world, just being applied in the digital world, right? Because the gamers are fickle. There are lots of games out there, lots to choose from. So if they can't get onto one game, unless there's something super special about it, they'll just drop that and they'll go somewhere else.
It's a big money industry, isn't it?
It really is. And also, I think it's worth noting that these denial of service attacks require an awful lot of machines to actually perform these attacks, right? It's not coming from one machine, because then it's very easy to stem the flow if it's only coming from one area. And it just shows you how sophisticated cybercrime has become. It's become a multi-stage criminal enterprise. You can have one gang that specializes in just grabbing login details, we know that's bad, and credentials. Then we have another gang that actually build a network of compromised machines. So these are machines that, you know, are in businesses all over the place, in the cloud, wherever. And then that gang who's bought some credentials from the other gang, that gang now rents out or sells this compromised machines to another gang who uses it for an attack. So it's really incredible how all of these teams, these gangs, are now working together. And it's unfortunately that they're ahead of generally law enforcement, who are still struggling, I think, to keep pace with this kind of cooperation.
Are there specialists in law enforcement working in this area? We know that, for example, in online child abuse, there are really skilled and quite sophisticated units operating and cooperating around the world. Is there, in the cybercrime area or this kind of attack area, is there that kind of cooperation?
So there is. And look, they do really well. And I'm a massive supporter of law enforcement. I think they do a very difficult job, and without them, we'd be in real trouble. But they are, by nature, quite a conservative bunch that move quite slowly. And sharing information is always difficult. Because you have concerns of countries and things that you need to think about. Criminals, of course, don't have this problem. And so when it's business, things always move a lot faster. I think the great thing about the police is they are like a massive rolling rock, is they will catch up to you eventually. And it never stops. So we've seen, for example, recently that America America and the UK just put four Russians that were operating out of the UK, they've got them under criminal charges now, which is really great, but it's rare to catch these gang members.
Do we know the source of origin? Often we sort of perceive there's a very active set of state and non-state actors in certain countries. Do we know the origin of this new operation?
No. I mean, so this is the thing, right? Because these gangs are using compromised machines from around the world, it's almost impossible to follow a thread back to the source. I mean, one of the things that we will benefit from is the distributed nature of computing. So that means that work is spread across a number of computers, and we get lots of speed, and we're able to do complex calculations, and that's amazing. But then on the negative side, criminals do exactly the same thing, and it's actually really hard to locate the attributions, what they call it, is to attribute it to a particular gang. The thing that is in our favor is that gangs generally are young men and women, and they have egos. And so they want to take credit for doing something. So they'll have a gang name or a gang title, and that's normally where they let themselves down.
Do you know, and can you know, if your device has been used this way?
Look, there are some indicators, but they're pretty broad. The best thing to do is, if particularly if you're a business and you suspect this, is, you know, contact your managed service provider, contact a cybersecurity professional. But some of the indicators are that your machine starts running very slowly, unusually slowly. Like if you're used to a performant machine during the day and suddenly it starts to really run slowly all the time, it could be an indicator that the machine is being used for all sorts of things that it's not designed for.
And so what do you do at that point? Are you changing your good old change the password, log on password?
Well, by that time, it's probably too late because they're in already. Even if you change your password to the machine, they've got a way to get back into your machine.
Right.
It's always best contact an expert in the field and have it checked. Particularly if you're a business, go to a cybersecurity professional and check that it hasn't gone to any other machines, and that what is actually running on there. Because is it farming out information about your clients, or is it just running a DDoS attack against someone else? Those two things are very different, and they have very different implications to you as a business, right? And you may have to take different steps depending on what the actual malware you have on your machine is.
Okay, what is the brute print attack that is happening? This is to do with smartphones, and interestingly with the fingerprint lock, right? How on earth are they busting that?
Well, so this one, I brought this story up because when you read the headline, it sounds scary, in that people believe that their biometrics, which is what fingerprint lock is a very secure way on their phone, and it is. It's a very secure method, and people are not meant to worry about it at all, because the way that they're unlocking or getting around this security is that they have to take the phone apart, and they're effectively doing what's known as a man-in-the-middle attack, which is intercepting the traffic in between and flooding the traffic with their own set of fingerprints and waiting for it to unlock the machine underneath. I wanted to mention this because it sounds like it's innovative and leading edge and very scary, and people need to worry, and there's yet another way to get into your phone. It to me, is just technically incredibly boring, because it's the same old method being used in a slightly different way. It's a bit like somebody writing an inflammatory news article that they've used their colander instead of their straining vegetables, they're now straining spaghetti. It's really, you know, it's just kind of dull, and it's nothing for people to worry about.
All right. And your final topic for us today is the new, how do I pronounce this one? Gobrat?
Gobrat, yes. So this is really interesting. So I talk regularly with you about our friends in China, how their devices have got constantly being found with back doors and so on. What's really interesting about it is Gobrat is a Chinese remote access Trojan. And what that means is that it's a piece of software that can run to allow some remote access onto, in this case, people's routers. Why this story is particularly interesting is it's specifically targeting all Japanese routers that it can. Why that's interesting is because the router is your connection between your home or business and the internet, right? So it's the main central point that allows that communication. So if you get onto there, you can see all the traffic that's going to and from your home or business to the internet. That's interesting. And from there, you can go and infect other machines if you want to. So the Americans, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, they're the ones who attributed Gobrat to China. So it's not me saying that, it's just the way it is. But we know that there's increased tensions between Japan and China at the moment, right? And so China intelligence community, I'm sure, are very interested to gather any information they can on Japan. And what we know is that the most popular router in Japan is something called Buffalo Air Station, which is made in Japan. So China actually don't have access like they do in other countries, such as our own, where all of the routers are Chinese. So China are actually having to put a project together to gain access to these routers. And I found that very interesting.
Thank you very much. That is
no problem.
Tony Grasso, who is our tech commentator.